The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
You know, ever since I can remember, I've been fascinated by sharks. I think it is so cool that the same God who created daisies and roses and chihuahua puppies, I don't know, also created sharks. How cool is it? I mean, what does a shark do? It swims around, it eats things, and it makes babies. That's all a shark does all the time. And, you know, that's a good day. That's a good day. And so I'm amazed by it. And here's the thing, though. I love sharks. I love seeing pictures of sharks. I like watching movies of sharks. I have never, nor do I ever plan to, be one of the guys that gets in the little cage and goes down underwater and says, hey, watch this shark eat the cage I'm in. No, I'm never going to do that because I am basically a sissy lala. I don't want to be part of that. We're going to talk today about a guy that got eaten, not by a shark, but he got eaten. So today's message is 180 degrees. We're going to talk about Jonah. Now, you may think you know the story of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? He got eaten by a fish. By the way, the Bible doesn't say whale. The Bible says great fish. I prefer to think instead of a big whale swallowing Jonah, I think maybe it was like a 40-foot goldfish. Sometimes I amaze myself at what comes out. You know, if you think what comes out scary, you ought to hear what doesn't come out. It's really frightening inside here. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to kind of work our way through the book of Jonah. And don't worry, it's not that long a book, so we'll be okay. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, we're not really sure how it happened. You know, it could have been God speaking an audible voice. It just could have been something in his heart. We don't know. You ever get that feeling inside that you just kind of think you feel something pushing you, talking to you? Could be God. Could be indigestion. I don't know. Just depends. But he knew it was God. So in verse 2, he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, let me show you a map of because you got to see this. Okay, way down here in this bottom corner is Joppa. That's where Jonah was. Okay, there's Joppa. In the upper right-hand corner, there's Nineveh. It's about a 500 to 700-mile trip across the desert, but I mean, it's a pretty much a straight shot. Tarshish, on the other hand, is way the heck over here. It's 2,200 miles by boat. Not a straight shot. Because I don't know if you noticed, but boats can't go over land. So he had to go swim all the way. To be honest with you, I'm not as good with PowerPoint as Jeremiah. I couldn't make the line snake all around. He had a shot of 500 miles. Could have gone to Nineveh. He said, I don't think so. I'll go to Tarshish. It's a longer trip, but it's prettier around the water. Here's the problem. Tarshish isn't where God told him to go. God told him to go to Nineveh. Now, here's the reason he didn't want to go. It's not just because he didn't like the desert. Nineveh was a tough place. Nineveh was full of pretty intense people. They were evil. They skinned their enemies alive. Don't know if you've ever done that, but it doesn't sound like it feels good. I hit myself with a hammer and thought the world was ending. I can't imagine somebody skinning me alive. They would cut the enemies of their heads off and stick them on pikes. just leave them outside for, you know, the birds to eat. And it was kind of a warning. Hey, by the way, don't come here and mess around, because check this out. No. Instead, he went to Tarshish. You know, and let's see, okay. You see, almost see Jonah doing the math. Okay, I can go 500 miles to talk to Nineveh. Let's see, Nineveh. Walls 100 foot thick. 1,500 guards, all armed. They're really not nice people. Or I can go to Tarshish. Yeah, I'll go to Tarshish. And here's the thing. Nineveh represents obedience. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He was scared. You ever get scared to do something? Ever get scared to do the right thing? We all reach those places. And trust me, it's a lot easier to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing. It always is. Instead, Tarshish represents disobedience. See, in God's geography, you're either going to Tarshish or you're going to Nineveh. There is no middle ground. You're either obeying God or you're disobeying God. And I like how we try to hedge the bets. Well, I'm not really disobeying, Jerry. What I'm doing is I'm just not obeying. Or I'll obey, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. You know, when my kids were still, one of the bad things about my kids all being gone and out of the house and stuff is I have to empty the trash myself. I can't, hey, go do that. So we're thinking about having another kid just so I can. No. No. Yeah. Yeah, my wife said, he is. Yeah, no, I told somebody this morning, as a matter of fact, we're going to name our next kid Mo, because there can be no Mo. But see, when my kids were at home, if I told them to take the trash out Tuesday night and they waited till Wednesday night, did they obey me? Yeah, kind of. Problem is, trash goes out Wednesday morning. So they took it out, but it's sitting on the curb now for a week. And my neighbors, they really don't like that. We somehow think that if we just kind of skate by, God will be okay with it. And I'm sorry, God's not. Pure and simple. Disobedience or delayed obedience or obedience, well, one of these days, it's disobedience. You're going to choose one way or the other. There's no gray area here. It's black or white. You can't hustle your way through it. You can't talk your way out of it. You're either headed to Tarshish or you're headed to Nineveh. It's up to you. Husbands, you're either loving your wife the way you're supposed to, nurturing her, loving her, supporting her, romancing her, sailing toward Nineveh. Or you're being the kind of husband you shouldn't be, and you're headed to Tarshish. No way around it. I will tell you that when you get to work, you're either a good employee, the kind of employee. Guys, I've told you before, I think Christians ought to be the best employees their places have. Because we have something to show. There should be something different about us. And again, you're either doing what you're supposed to do or you're belly aching, whining, complaining. You're either going to Nineveh or you're going to Tarshish. You're the one that chooses. Nobody made Jonah go to Tarshish. He chose to go there. Nobody makes you disobey. Nobody holds a gun to the side of your head and says, you are not going to do this. No. We choose. So what does that mean for us? Well, in day-to-day life, we're going to decide every day what we're going to do. And Jonah said, you know what, I'm going to Joppa, and I'm going to find a ship headed to Tarshish. I'm going to go 180 degrees away from where I'm supposed to go. I'm going to go the opposite direction. Now here's the thing. In today's society, we look at that and we think, oh, well, yeah, you know, you just went down, like going to LAX, and, you know, there's a plane every 30 minutes out of Joppa to head to Tarshish. No, there were like two ships a year, 5 to 6 months apart. I mean, this took some planning. He didn't, like, call his travel agent on his cell phone. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about heading to Tarshish. Oh, well, we have some lovely packages. Would you like a hotel as well? No, you get on a ship and you just kind of take your chances. So let's talk about a couple of things here. First of all, if you're going to head to Tarshish, you pay the fare. If you're going to disobey God, you pay the full fare. Look at Jonah chapter 1 again. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. If you are going to run from God, you're going to pay all the costs. And I guarantee you, some of them are going to be painful. I tell you from a lot of experience. I know it comes as a shock to you. Pastor, you would be? Yes. Yes, I've run from God. Because there were times I didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. It scared me. I was just like, and look, man, I understand Jonah. Quaked in my boots. I didn't want to be a minister. My grandfather was a minister. My uncle was a minister. I did everything I could not to be a minister. I did not want anything to do with that kind of line of work. Because it ain't easy. And I watched them go through the highs and the lows. And it seemed like the lows outnumbered the highs. So I ran. I tried to be everything else I could. And I just kept coming back. And I got a lot of pain and a lot of mistakes in my life that I made trying to run from God. And I know I'm not alone. Jonah hops on the cruise ship, the Disobedience 2. I don't think it was that, but I named it that. It's my story. I can do whatever I want. You don't like it? Find your own church. No, I'm just kidding. You know, and I think we do this too. We kind of make it ourselves. We get the idea that, well, wait, this worked out. He showed up at Joppa. Hey, there's a boat going to Tarshish today. This must be God's will. And we try and talk ourselves into somehow believing that our disobedience is okay with God. Just remember, nobody can lie to you like you can lie to you. We do that little two-step dance all around it. Oh, this is going to be okay. This is going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. In fact, I put it this way. Just because the circumstances fall into place doesn't mean it's the will of God. Sometimes, I think the devil, just to mess with us, will work stuff out that we think is going to be okay, especially if we're in rebellion against God. Especially if we're trying to walk away from God. Oh, well, by the way, I'll help you. If somebody was going to do something specifically for you, wouldn't you help them along the way? Oh, you're going to bring me $1 million? I'll send a car. You're going to send me a bill for $1 million? I'm not available. In fact, I'm moving. It's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? There's always going to be a ship bound for Tarshish in your life. Always. Every day you're going to have an opportunity to find the right way to do the wrong thing. It's always going to be there because it's always easy. It's always available. The hardest part is finding the way to go to Nineveh. So let's keep going in Jonah. He gets on the boat and this storm breaks out. Huge storm. In fact, the sailors are afraid. And where's Jonah? He's asleep. He's asleep in the bottom of the ship. They go to him and they say, dude, we're going to die here. What's going on? He says, well, I don't know. I was asleep. So he tells them, you know what, guys, I caused this. I'm running from God. At least he was honest. At least he was honest. Yeah, I'm running from God. What are you going to do? So you're getting in. This terrified him. They ask, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they ask him, what should we do to you to make the sea come down for us? And Jonah at least comes correct. He isn't trying to hide it. He at least pays for his sin here. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it'll become calm. I know that's my fault. This great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, oh, Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Well, first of all, he's not an innocent man. He's the guy who caused it. But they're covering their bets. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And if you're on deck, Like, I get a picture like 20 guys on deck. They throw this guy in the water. It suddenly go calm. And they all go, dang, that was cool. We'll throw somebody else in, but we're afraid the storm will start again. So we'll stop here. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Everything looked calm and smooth. Sailing toward Tarshish. Everything was fine. The sailors freaked out. Almost killed them. Jonah told them to throw them overboard, so they did. See, when I rebel against God, when I'm doing the wrong thing, people around me are put in peril too. Understand that if you're doing the wrong thing, people around you will be hurt. We like to think that somehow we're this little self-contained unit, nothing we do ever bothers anybody else. That's not true. It's not true. We're like a pond. If somebody throws a rock in the middle of it, the ripples go all the way to the edges. I guarantee you, if you're in rebellion against God, if you're running from God, people around you are suffering. Could be your kids. Jerry, you mean to tell me that just, you know, me just rebelling against God can hurt my kids? Yeah. Absolutely. You think your kids would be better off with a dad who followed God and lived according to what God says a man should be? Or do you think they're better off with a guy who's doing his own thing and hoping nothing comes to rest on him? Do you really think, husbands, do you really think that your wives look at you and say, oh, well, yeah, he can do whatever he wants. It doesn't bother me. I know my wife doesn't. Guys, everything we do affects the people around us. If I come home grumpy and angry, my wife has to put up with me. The times I was running from God, my kids were at home, they suffered from that. And here's the worst part. I look back at those times, and it breaks my heart. I look back at those times when I did wrong, and it kills me. I wish there was a time machine I could go back and undo it. It doesn't exist. And so now, all these years later, I pick up pieces. And I try to make amends where I can. Believe me, if you're in rebellion against God, the people you love, and the people that care about you are suffering. Verse 17, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Here's what I always wondered. Did Jonah just like know, hey, this big fish is coming at me? You know, did he hear like the Jaws theme? Dun-dum, dun-dum. John Williams wasn't around back then, so probably not. But I mean, did they see the whale or the big fish open his mouth and go, oh, this is not going to be good? Or did he wake up and think, really smells funky in here? There's a lot of dead fish and seaweed all around me. Can you imagine what it would be like to be inside a big fish? Eesh. When I was youth pastor in San Pedro, we couldn't understand why the sanctuary stunk. It was bad. I mean, it was really, really bad. We looked all around. We tried to find something inside the sanctuary, underneath in the basement. Couldn't find it. Finally, one day, I was doing some work around the back of the church, and there was a bag of two or three bags of rotting fish heads right next to our air conditioner. So it's pumping the smell into there. Come to find out, the guy that lived behind the church was cleaning fish and then just tossing the bag over into our area. I went over and had a polite chat with him and asked him not to do that anymore. Actually, I didn't. I threw the fish bags over back into his yard. I tried to come across as a nice guy. You know, well, you know, sir, we really would appreciate. No, I just threw him back in his yard. And I think he got the message because he never did it again. Oh, the inside of that stunk so, the church stunk so bad. We'd walk in like, People, it happened over a week or 2 weeks, you know. And so people come to church, and you can see them walk in the foyer, and they go. We had a visitor who came, and they never came back. I was the youth pastor. I wouldn't have gone back, except they were paying me, and I had to be there. Now, here's the thing. I know some of you are sitting there and think, Jerry, come on, let's be honest. This is a great story. This is a good Hollywood story. Do you really mean to tell me, an educated 21st century human, do you really mean to tell me that a guy could go inside a fish and live? Exactly. That's exactly what I'm telling you. In February of 1891, the whale ship Star of the East was in the vicinity of the Falkland Islands when the lookout saw a large sperm whale thrashing about. Two whaling vessels converged on the whale. The tail slapped one of the boats, and two sailors went overboard. One drowned, the other seemingly disappeared. After harpooning the whale, it was towed to shore. 24 hours later, the men were dissecting it when they saw something moving in its stomach. They opened it, and there was Frank Bartlett, who no doubt was very, very surprised. He was the sailor who had disappeared. They revived him, and he lived to sail again. Now, you talk about no matter what room you're in, people start telling stories about bad stuff. Frank Bartlett wins from this day to the rest of his life. Never bought another beer the rest of his life. Everybody's like, oh, dude, you win. Where do you go from that? Well, alligator bit my leg off. Yeah, well, I got swallowed by a fish and I live. Yeah. Brings us to the next part, second chance. You ever feel like a human fishing lure, kind of the way Jonah felt? You know you've done something wrong, and you're just kind of waiting for the fish to swallow you up? I have. I know. I have. None of you guys have. We're all in this together, let's be honest. What did Jonah do? He found himself in the belly of a fish. Not a good place to be. What did he do? Chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed. How many of us would have prayed inside the belly of the fish? I got to admit, might not have been my first inclination. Screaming, kicking, trying to hit tonsils, trying to make my way back to his tongue so he throws up something. I would have done something, but I think praying might have been a little further down the list. Or maybe I prayed, Lord, I get it, I'm dead, just let me go now. Because I don't mind coming in the mouth end. I don't. Just saying, I'm pretty sure it works the same way for whales as it does for us. You know what Jonah realized? You can't run from God. You can try. You can try and get away. The Bible says that God prepared a great fish. Prepared it. Didn't just happen. God did it. Because God wasn't willing to give up on Jonah, and he wasn't willing to give up on Nineveh. Could God have sent somebody else to Nineveh? Nah. Here's the thing, though. I don't think God has plan B sometimes. I think we're plan A, and that's all there is. So when we're disobedient, again, people suffer. How many people in Nineveh died in the time Jonah was in rebellion? People who would have had a chance to serve the Lord if Jonah had done what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it. We'll never know. So he prays from inside the fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I'm sure this is probably not a fun process either. Here's what I always picture, though. Some guy's out surfing, fishing in the waves, dude surfing next to him. This big whale comes to the shore and says, brother, out pops this guy. Clothes are all bleached out from the stomach acids. He's got fish hanging, sardines hanging out of his hair and seaweed all over him. And he walks up to him and says, hey, God's going to destroy the earth. you better get your act right. You know what? I think you're going to listen to that guy. I'm just saying. I think you're going to listen to this dude. Whale, I can't wait to get you out of here. Chapter 3, verse 1. This, I think, is the turning point. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We serve a God who offers second chances. That's so cool. That is so cool to me. I love the story in the New Testament of the prodigal son where he goes and tells the dad basically, hey, dude, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Give me my money. And he goes and he spends it. And he runs off and he ends up in ruin like you could see that coming. And he's coming home and he's practicing the speech to his dad. Dad, I'm not worthy to be one of your sons. I'm just make me one of the farmhands. God, I'm not worthy to be your kid. And I love what the scripture says. It says, While he was far away, his father saw him. And he ran to him. I could picture that dad every night. As soon as the kid left, sitting on his porch with a glass of iced tea, thinking, I wonder if today's the day he's going to come home. And he'd go to bed at night, and the last thought of every night was, maybe it'll be tomorrow. He woke up in the morning sitting on the porch with a cup of coffee and he looked down the road and he said, maybe today. And at night, maybe tomorrow. Every day and every night, I can picture that dad sitting on the porch waiting for that kid to come home because he loved him. In fact, it didn't surprise the dad when the kid came home. He was waiting for him. He was looking for him. Guys, if you're in rebellion against God, if you're just lackadaisical toward God, every day God looks at you and says, maybe today's the day. In fact, God is more willing, God is wanting more for you to come home than you are. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares about you. Don't get it twisted. We think sometimes that God is the big blue meanie in heaven waiting to kill us with lightning bolts every time we sin. Ah, caught you! No. God is that dad sitting on the porch hoping against hope that the kid comes home today. Is there a judgment? Yes, absolutely. You're being given a chance to come to know Christ, absolutely. And if you choose not to, bad things happen. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I'm not going to lie to you. But while you're here, you have an opportunity. And God's been waiting. God's been waiting. He wants you to be there. It's up to you. How many golfers do we have? No golfers? Wow. Then this is going to be lost on you then. Okay, 1 or 2. All right. I'm not really a golfer, but I do golf occasionally. There's a difference. A golfer has like good clubs and nice shoes and he knows what he's doing. Guys like me, we just go out, hit the ball and say, well, I don't know where that one went. Give me another one. Every time you go to a golf tournament, you get to buy mulligans. And a mulligan basically is a do-over. And what it is, you hit a shot, it goes in the water, and you say, I'm going to use a mulligan. And you get to hit all over again, and it's like the first one never happened. When I golf, I need a lot of mulligans. In my life, I need a lot of mulligans. Because every now and then, I've messed something up to the point I say, you know what? I need a do-over. The third thing you need to know is that God gives mulligans. God gives you an opportunity to switch it around, a chance to start over. That's why we call today 180 degrees. You've got a chance to say, you know what? I've really tanked this thing. Let's start again. We use the word repentance, and we think it means sorry. You ever tell your kid, you know, your kid does something wrong? Say, you're sorry.
Sorry.
You hit your brother with that hammer, tell him you're sorry.
Sorry.
What the kid means is, I'm sorry I didn't kill you. That's... When I was teaching school, we have on the playground, you know, one kid would hit another, the other, and it was always the wimpy kid that gets hit, and he comes crying, he hit me. Tell him you're sorry.
Sorry.
You're not sorry. You're a liar and your breath stinks. You're not sorry at all. And that's how someone we think that the repentance is. You know, we just tell God, hey, God, sorry. No, the Bible says we have to repent. And the word repent literally means 180-degree change. I was going this way, and I thought, man, that's going to hurt. I'm going to go this way. I was sailing toward Tarshish, and I ended up in the belly of a whale. You know what? Nineveh doesn't look so bad. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes that whale experience to get us there. Here's what God said. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. It's pretty much the same thing he said to begin with, isn't it? Go to the great city of Nineveh, proclaim to it the message I give you. It's a do-over. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. I'm assuming he had a chance to take a shower and stuff before he went in there. Because, you know, let's be honest, if you're in a city for 3 days and you still smell funky like that, people are going to start thinking, no, he's not a prophet. He's just he's a whack job. I didn't see this guy get spit up on the beach. I just know he stinks. We get those guys in our jail all the time that proclaiming the end of the world. Okay, but really, you really need to take a shower first before I take you seriously. It would be hard to listen to some guy running around, you know, with sardines hanging out of his hair. So I'm just saying. But they did. They listened to him. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth, a sign of repentance. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. In fact, he went on to proclaim that anybody who didn't follow the God of Jonah would be put to death. That's pretty intense. All because Jonah finally obeyed. They think there were maybe 120,000 people. The Bible says that there are 120,000 people who didn't know their right hand from their left, which was kind of a poetic way of saying 120,000 children. Nineveh was a big city, and they all came to know God. You know, in this series, we've talked about Old Testament heroes, and some of them were flawed. We talked about David. We talked about Samson. They were guys who were flawed. They were guys who made mistakes. David is referred to as a man after God's own heart, but he sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery with Bathsheba. But he knew, once he realized what he had done, he went to God and he asked God to forgive him. And God forgave him. I don't care who you were when you walked in those back doors tonight. I really don't. From the highest to the lowest, you're here and you've got a chance for a mulligan. You're here and you've got a chance for a 180. And, you know, and I've had people tell, oh, but Jerry, you don't know the sins I've done. You know what? I don't want to hear them either, by the way. Don't really need to go, you know, down in your hole with you. It doesn't matter. Because God says, you know what? We're going to draw a line in the sand right here. That was then. This is now. They brought the woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. And the guys were going to stone her. And Jesus said, wait a second. You know, you guys without sin, you cast the first stone. They all, you know, Mike Warnke said they dropped their rocks and split. But then he looked at the woman and he said, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. And he said, you're right. Now go and sin no more. And that's an important part of the story too. Go and sin no more. You can't come into church today and say, oh, I had an experience with God. I went to Remnant. That was kind of cool. Pastor's kind of weird, but, you know, it's all right. You were thinking it. And then walk out of here and say, oh, I had a great experience. And then go out here and live the way you want to live again, because you're just going to find yourself back to Tarshish. You're just going to find yourself back in the belly of the fish. Or as I have said it for years, you're just stuck on stupid. Stupid's a choice. Choose to be stupid. Dumb you're stuck with, but stupid's a choice. Same in or out. I don't know, one way or the other. All those people's lives in Nineveh were changed. All those things happened because Jonah finally did what God wanted him to do. And I put it like this, that when we obey God, lives are changed for the better. Not just ours, but those around us too. You want a better home? You got to go to Nineveh. You want to be a better employee? You got to go to Nineveh. You want a better life? You got to go to Nineveh. Keep your head to Tarshish if you want to, but there's a big fish out there with your name on it. Let's pray. God, thanks. You're powerful, Lord, and you love us. And that is why you ask us to go to Nineveh. Not for you, God. You don't need us. But God, it's for us. Because you know that our lives are made better when we obey. Our lives are enriched by our obedience, God. When we stumble, when we fall, you forgive us. When we make mistakes, you allow the 180 degree turn. You're the God of a second chance, and I thank you for that. Father, I pray that you would touch our lives today. God, give us. Give us the heart to follow you. If your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. That is certainly not my place. I do want to ask you a very simple question, though. Where are you headed today? Maybe you're on your way to Nineveh, and you know you're doing what's right. Maybe, though, you're headed to Tarshish. And you can't figure out why things don't always go the way they're supposed to go. You can't figure out why you keep stubbing your toe the same place all the time. You can't figure out why it just seems you can't get a break. Maybe it's your time in the fish.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.